Okay, it's 6 o'clock. It's Bob Gerasi talking. I'll call this work session to order. Robert Wicks, our supervisor, is out for this meeting, so I will be chairing this meeting. So the work session is now officially open, and turn it over to you, Jeff. Your name is on the first.
Yeah, item. So the work session, I put ARPA and Rob Helfridge on because I wanted to let Rob talk about, you know, the foundation that he does and all the good stuff that he's doing and working with the school district as well, too. So, Rob, I'll give you the floor.
All right, thank you. Is this speaker? All right. I appreciate it. Did you get your homework assignment?
I sure did. I saw that last night.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't have timed that better. Yeah. The segment they did on me, that was filmed back in March, and they had aired it before. But some of the other stuff was new, and it's so much on target to what I'm going to talk about and discuss tonight. Incredibly on target. So everything they're talking about, I'm going to talk about tonight. So a little bit about the Sacramento Memorial Fund. We were founded in 2020. We're a 501c3, a nonprofit, New York State registered charity. And our mission is to raise awareness among parents and teens for suicide, mental health, and to fund effective local mental health programs. So as you know, we have a variety of events in the Baldwinsville area. You guys are well aware of the Life Worth Living 5K. That's our biggest event right now. And we also have a golf tournament. We started 2 years ago. It's held at Foxfire, and we're going to be moving it to Radisson. We also have Zach's birthday party at WT's. We did that for 2 years ago. We started on what would have been Zach's 21st birthday. So we buy him a beer, WT's, and he would also like the lobster rolls, the lobster trucks in the past 2 years. That's been a great event. And we have a fundraiser at San Miguel's as well. And we have a new event that we're working on for next year. And it's been a crazy idea. And, you know, I go to some of these things, these events at Paper Mill Island, like the Sonic River Days, for instance, and Taste of Bevo. And I'm like thinking, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. So I've been talking to a lot of people. I've been talking to Maureen, the clerk down at the town, as well as several other people that are very interested in helping. So what we're going to be doing next year is we're planning the Life Worth Living Memorial Concert at Paper Mill Island for next summer. It'll be a Saturday afternoon and evening of food trucks and live music. You have a couple bands lined up, or at least of interest. And we're going to have various mental health providers with 10x10 information booths there as well. And one thing that about all these events that we do, we use them to raise awareness. It's not just about the funding, it's about raising awareness. So we stress at all these events with parents that this is a reality. We never saw it coming with Zach. Never saw it coming. And that's unfortunately quite typical. If we had known, if it was in our psyche that this was a possibility, we would have acted differently. So I'm sure there's an opportunity for a lot of parents to help their kids if they're aware that there could be some underlying issues, and this mental health problem is a crisis right now with teenagers. So we definitely push that really hard, and we push it with kids as well. The kids, you need to speak up. You need to talk to somebody if you're in crisis. If you're uncomfortable, talk to your parents, talk to your teacher, talk to a counselor, even talk to friends. You have to talk to somebody. You have to talk. Secondly. So that's another very important thing. And at our events, for instance, at the 5K, we have over 40 memorials on the course in the apple orchard. It's a beautiful site. It's a very impactful site to see 40 memorials. And these memorials, most of them are young people. One is young as a 12-year-old girl who had committed suicide. And when you walk through there, it's incredibly powerful. So I've actually learned that, especially with this past year's event, a lot of families show up. A lot of parents with kids come to that event. And I had several parents talk to me and say, look, we brought our kids to the event just to force the discussion. When you walk through that orchard and you see those memorials, it's very impactful. So that's been working quite well for us. And we've raised $60,500 today. The primary beneficiary has been Upstate Psychiatry High Risk Program. That was profiled last night as well, and through the Zach Helfrich Memorial Endowment. That's been 32,500 to date. And since 2019, we supported the local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention through the Out of the Darkness Walk. And so that makes up the difference to the 6,500. There's a portion that we started that and supported that in 2019, probably with $10,000 before we even started the 501k or 501c3. We'll be very transparent. As a 501c3, our financial statements are publicly available. The link to the IRS 990s are available on our website, zachmemorial.com, through GuideStar. And GuideStar is an information and rating service for nonprofits. We have a gold rating. We are 100% volunteer. No one receives a salary or a wage associated with the nonprofit. So if granted, as far as the possibility here for an ARPA grant, I would propose to use the funds to support mental health programs at Baldwinsville High School and the Psychiatry High Risk Program at Upstate. Upstate Psychiatry High Risk Program is quite unique and quite effective. It's a 12-month outpatient program taking in some of the most really troubled patients. These patients are often multiple attempt patients. These are patients who seek services elsewhere, and those services and those therapeutics failed, and they come to this program. And they have 90% success rate. It's phenomenal. And they have what they've developed was called Dynamic Deconstructive Psychotherapy, DDP. It's a peer-reviewed treatment program. It's really focused on recovery versus symptoms. So they're not really focusing on just the symptom of depression. They're focusing on what's causing the depression. And so it's been developed by Dr. Berry at Upstate. It's getting national attention. They treated over 600 patients, again, with over 90% recovery rates. And this is phenomenal. They've never lost a patient to suicide. These are high-risk patients. It says a lot for the program. So the funds raised are used to expand services, conduct research, and support underinsured patients. So that's the first thing I would suggest. The second thing, Baldwinsville School District. I recently contacted the interim supervisor, Joe DeBarry, a couple weeks ago, and to learn how we can help. And I've also been working with Carrie Mamakia. She's the Director of Pupil and Personnel Services and a member of the Mental Wellness Committee in the district to really learn how we can expand some of these mental health services in the district. The district uses something called the Behavior Intervention Monitoring and Assessment System, BIMAS, to screen students in grades 7 to 12. And they've determined that 20% of the students are at risk of suicide or self-harm. That's consistent with some other studies that I've seen from the CDC. The CDC came out with a study earlier this year that was a study that started over a 10-year period from 2009 to 2019. They found in 2019, this is pre-pandemic, in 2019, they found that 9% of high school students, this is crazy, 9% of high school students attempted suicide, not 9%. This was before the pandemic. So I can't imagine how difficult it is now. So there's really two areas where they need help. They need help funding an additional mental health clinic on site, clinic room. And they also want to pursue something called this Team Mental Health First Aid Program. So the first initiative would be adding a Liberty Resources Mental Health Clinic at Baker High School. This would be on site. The kids don't have to leave school to get services. The parents don't have to find a clinician and travel to take their kids to see a provider. And the Liberty clinicians provide individual therapy. They have connection to a psychiatric chair if necessary, diagnosis, medication management, and family therapy. They take on insurance once the student's accepted. And right now, they have the caseload per Liberty clinician is 28 to 30 students. Beeville currently has 8 Liberty clinics. They have one in Van Buren, Eldon, McNamara, Reynolds, Palmer, Ray, Derby, and Baker. So you can think, well, they already have the clinics, why do they need more? Well, they're all full. They're currently servicing 225 students. And there are currently 30 students on the wait list at Baker. The current average wait list is 6 to 8 months. So these kids that are on the wait list are not going to get services through Liberty. They're going to have to find some, the parents are going to have to find some other provider. So it would cost $12,500 to open a new mental health clinic room. And that $12,500 is an offset to the cost to start up the clinic. The $12,500 covers the all onboarding process and intake process as they build the caseload. And that's the charge from Liberty Resources. So the other program we've talked about is a mental health first aid program. So they currently have this at the school in the district. The course teaches participants how to identify, understand, and respond to signs of mental health illness and substance abuse disorders. Mental health first aiders are teachers, neighbors, parents, and friends. And Baldwinsville School District currently has 3 staff members trained in mental health first aid. And they have a train-the-trainer model. So what they like to do is they want to expand that type of program to teenagers. So they want to do a teen mental health first aid program for kids in grades 10 to 12 or ages 15 to 18 to help them how to identify, understand, and respond to signs of mental health among their friends and peers. This program is sponsored by the National Council of Mental Wellbeing and a partnership for the Born With the This Way Foundation. And the teens would learn the skills they need to have supportive conversations with their friends and how to get help from a responsible and trusted adult. And the cost of the program is the cost of the 3-day virtual training is $2,200 per trainer. And there's need for 2 trainers. They want to have one at Derby and they want to have one at Baker. So then the intention here would be these kids would be, once they're trained, then they become the trainers and they train other kids. And this is the challenge here, as I mentioned before, with kids, then when they need to speak up, a lot of times they don't want to talk to their parents. They don't want to talk to an adult. A lot of times they talk to their friends. I have a friend of mine who I used to run with in the YMCA run group. She lost her 14-year-old daughter to suicide earlier this year and in springtime. And this girl had attempted 2 weeks prior and had told her best friend. And her best friend didn't tell anybody. And this poor kid is going to be, for the rest of her life, is going to be just traumatized with guilt. So if there's another way to attack this program, I think this I really resonate with that one. This training the trainer for kids for this teen mental health, I think that would be a really kind of interesting and cool program. And it's $2,200 cost per student, it'd be two students. So if this could be considered, what I would suggest for an ARPA grant is to propose a grant of $26,900 to the Zach Helfick Memorial Fund to be further distributed as follows. $10,000 to the Upstate Psychiatry High Risk Program through the Zach Helfick Memorial Endowment, $12,500 to Liberty Resources for a second mental health clinic at Baker, and $4,400 for the teen mental health training program. So I could raise this money. I know I can, especially with some of my crazy ideas, and we've had a lot of success with the programs that we've done. But it's going to take me a year. It won't be until next year that we will be able to raise that kind of money. We've raised about $25,000 this year. And with that we could probably get at least $10,000-$15,000 off that concert at Paper Mill. So I'm sure we'll do quite well next year. But, you know, it's going to be another year. And those kids aren't going to get help. Or those kids are going to have to find somewhere else to get help when you have a backlog, a waiting list. Of 30 kids, it takes 6 months. So I think it's a great program opportunity at Baldwinsville. I think some of those have already been funded earlier in the year through the county, as far as some of these additional Liberty resources, but they don't have enough. This wasn't enough. It's not enough. And so between that and I'm I'm very blessed to find the program at Upstate with this psychiatry high risk program that is local. It's here in our community, and it's highly, highly effective. So the endowment we have there, I'm very pleased to find that, and I'll continue to fund that as well. So we have that as well. So thank you.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you. So any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So the waiting period for some of those students, and then say they are evaluated, and then they're told they have to go elsewhere. What if the parents don't have the resources to pay for, psychotherapy? I mean, there's a difference between sending them to like a psychological health care and an actual psychiatrist.
Yeah, it's just much more expensive.
So
yeah.
How are people dealing with that?
The program at Liberty is funded with, it would be further funded with insurance. So hopefully there's a sufficient insurance available through parents.
What if they don't?
There's
some parents that don't carry insurance because they work for themselves or whatever, but
yep.
So how, they would have to go out of pocket for that, or is there somewhere they could go,
It's a good question. And I could ask Jerry how Liberty and these clinics at Beeville, how they handle underinsured patients.
Because I know my daughter's a banker, so I know a few of her friends, their parents don't have insurance, and they won't even go to the doctor for a cough or fever, so that's kind of, and if they need help, what are they going to do? So what if they called Upstate and said, I need to get my daughter in, or how they have CPAP at St. Joe's, is it the same thing as CPAP?
No, CPAP CPAP is an emergency intervention program. So CPAP is really meant for the most critical patients, patients that are about to attempt, and they're sent to CPAP. CPAP.
Yeah. I have a friend that works at CPAP, so yeah.
Yeah, there's CPAP. I know at least four instances where
they'll send you on your way.
Patients in and out. CPAP were discharged and they committed suicide.
So these people from Liberty Resources would say go up to Upstate, don't go to CPAP, don't go.
No. CPAP has its value and its service. It really does. If the police are involved in a situation where somebody's attempting, they'll take them to CPAP. CPAP is an emergency room, ER. The challenge with CPAP and programs like CPAP, it's not the program at CPAP itself, the follow-up after CPAP.
Okay.
That outpatient care,
once
they're discharged from CPAP.
And that's what Upstate does, is have CPAP.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they do take patients from CPAP. Yeah.
Does the board have any other questions or comments?
Yeah, no, I just want to make a comment as well, too. So, mental health doesn't discriminate, right?
Yeah.
So. Even the age too. I mean, Dean and I know someone that just took their life last month. So, an adult. So really, and it was a local person as well too. So doesn't discriminate, especially with COVID, ramps up now too. So.
Now, how long would it take? Say you get the money for the clinic or the trainer. How long would that take the school district to enact that?
My understanding is they have a physical space available at this point
now.
So it'd just be a matter of Liberty Services to get the clinician and the staff in place, which they have, and then can they get that started. So I think it would be relatively quickly, especially with the need.
Right.
Any other questions? Oh, Rob, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Appreciate you coming in.
If you were to approve this, or what would be the next step?
The board would have to talk about this.
Right.
Yeah, we'll have to put a resolution up and then approve it.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the request?
26.9
of ARPA.
26.9 for what?
ARPA?
Rob has proposed.
Yeah.
Of ARPA.
Because we're restricted as a town as to what we can spend money on.
Not with ARPA, no.
No, I understand ARPA,
right.
But I want to get something from somebody that says we can use the ARPA funds for that.
No, I do have it.
I think it's certainly worthwhile.
Oh, no, I have that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Town law, we can put $10,000 a year.
Towards mental health as well, too.
Toward mental health psychiatric services in the town. And I think, you know, using the school district would be, you know, that would, that part of that would.
Well, we just gotta make sure that whatever it is that we're authorized to do with it, so.
Right.
So would this be something that you would propose at the next meeting?
No, I mean, Robert Wicks is not here, the supervisor at Rob, so he needs to be briefed on this. And so, you know, it would be up to him to put it on the agenda. So, and for us to discuss it, so.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate as well.
So you guys wouldn't be comfortable making a motion on it tonight?
Tonight, no.
I would not be.
I would.
Okay, I mean, I think, you know, the longer we wait on this, the worse it gets. And I feel that, you know, ARPA funding was created specifically for this, and, you know, it's on the news. I don't, I mean, if you're not in favor of voting on it, that's one thing. But if three of us are in favor of it, that would be a moot point if Supervisor Wicks was or wasn't here.
There's only two people that are in favor in moving ahead with this tonight. I am absolutely not in favor of it because of what Mr. Revisigno just told us, which I know something about the legalities here. I want to make sure the research is done, and whatever we do, we dot the I's and cross the T's exactly correct with ARPA or with anything we do. And that's not at all saying that the program is not a valuable, my goodness gracious, kind of program. It's absolutely terrific, but, you know, it's whether the town of Lysander or any municipality has the right and responsibility to move forward on something like this, and I'm not comfortable doing anything about that tonight.
If our town attorney has questions, then I have questions. I agree with Bob. Super honorable what you're doing, but I would want to make sure that everything was, I would much rather double check everything. Just
okay. Well, I mean,
you know, and I don't know for sure that that's what it was made for. I mean,
it actually was, and I have that in writing.
That's fine.
From
I haven't seen it.
Bonadale Group.
That's good, but you might have it in writing right now, but it hasn't been. We haven't held a discussion with the full board and our attorney, and you may have something in writing. I trust you, Jeff, if you say you do, but I would want to, you know, be more thorough before we.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I'll send it out. Yeah,
I mean,
I'll send it out.
I mean, we approved money for the GBAC. We know what the constraints are with ARPA funding, but if we're not comfortable moving forward, then I would hope at the next meeting we would be. I mean, is this something we could have the information?
I'll get the information quickly, yes.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
I think there are two issues that we need to talk about at the next meeting. One is the legality, the protocol. And the second one is, in a more general sense, does the town of Lysander or any municipality want to venture down the path of supporting good causes? And as versus other things that, in this case, ARPA was designed to do for economic loss due to the pandemic. We're not talking about any kind of economic loss here or projects that were designed for the community. My concern, I'll just put a few cards on the table, is in spite of the fact that this program is so spectacularly good, there's a never-ending list of spectacularly good charities out there that want to do good things for a community. And I don't want to be put in a position of saying we're going to pick you, you, and you, but we're not going to pick you, you, and you. And to me, it's inappropriate for the town, for any member of a town board to exercise that kind of responsibility and authority to say, we think that charity is better than this charity. And the services that we have funded so far, such as like the Baldwinsville ambulance, they fall into the category of public service, no different than the work that a town does already. It happens to be that the Beeville ambulance is a not-for-profit group as well, but they're not a charity. They're a service-oriented facility or organization. Anyway, we'll talk about it some more. But
yes, sorry. We have a little bit of time here. I mean, a couple of comments on that. First off,
do you really want to do this, Rob? Because
oh no, but, I do want to have the
yeah, absolutely.
But
all right, fine.
First of all, as far as the pandemic, this is a pandemic issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back and watch that episode from last night. That was all about the pandemic and what the pandemic has done to these kids in this program. And then secondly, and I'm perfectly fine with this, I'm not looking for money for my charity. I'm looking for money for these programs. If you want to take these ARPA funds and not go through Zach Helfrich Memorial Fund and fund these things directly, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Do you want me to read the U.S. Department of Treasury? Nonprofits eligible for assistance are those that experience negative economic impacts or disproportionate impacts of the pandemic and meet the definition of not-profit, specifically those that are 501c3. This is from the U.S. Department of Treasury. Decreased revenue, financial insecurity, increased costs, capacity to weather financial hardship, challenges covering payroll, on and on. It's all about economic impact. This is from the U.S. Department of Treasury. I'm going to give this to Tony to research even some more.
But the West Phoenix Water District that we just approved last week, I would take a look into that because that really doesn't fall under ARPA because that was a debt service. ARPA money is not used for debt services. So I would take a look, and that's what that just said, debt services. So I would take a look at that as well, too, before we cut that check because that's really not meant to be used for debt services at all prior to COVID, too. So...
No, I do appreciate it. I never thought that this was available until Jeff had mentioned that this might be a possibility.
I think it's great, yeah.
And I can raise the money. I can do it. I know I can do it. It's just going to take me a year. And there's kids that need help, you know, and there are kids that need help now. And, you know, it's been my mission since what I've gone through to help. And again, I'm not necessarily looking for the money to go. I think it would be easier if it went through the nonprofit 501c3, but you can do it directly to Liberty, to the school, to Upstate, and fund that endowment directly. That's perfectly fine as well. But we just need to get it done.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
It's noble what you're doing.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give you my notes as well.
Yeah.
Are there any further items to discuss at the work session? If not, I'll call this work session over at 6:26 or 7?
27.
Okay, 27. There you go.